1. Why do the heathen rage? Said Jesus, You should all recall how the psalmist spoke of these times, saying, Why do the heathen rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers of the people take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break the bonds of mercy asunder, and let us cast away the cords of love. Today you see this fulfilled before your eyes. But you shall not see the remainder of the psalmist's prophecy fulfilled, for he entertained erroneous ideas about the Son of Man and his mission on earth. My kingdom is founded on love, proclaimed in mercy, and established by unselfish service. My Father does not sit in heaven laughing in derision at the heathen. He is not wrathful in his great displeasure. True is the promise that the Son shall have these so-called heathen, in reality his ignorant and untaught brethren, for an inheritance. And I will receive these Gentiles with open arms of mercy and affection. All this loving kindness shall be shown the so-called heathen, notwithstanding the unfortunate declaration of the record, which intimates that the triumphant Son shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. The psalmist exhorted you to serve the Lord with fear. I bid you enter into the exalted privileges of divine sonship by faith. He commands you to rejoice with trembling. I bid you rejoice with assurance. He says, Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish when his wrath is kindled. But you who have lived with me well know that anger and wrath are not a part of the establishment of the kingdom of heaven in the hearts of men. But the psalmist did glimpse the true light when, in finishing this exhortation, he said, Blessed are they who put their trust in this Son. Jesus continued to teach the 24, saying, The heathen are not without excuse when they rage at us. Because their outlook is small and narrow, they are able to concentrate their energies enthusiastically. Their goal is near and more or less visible. Wherefore do they strive with valiant and effective execution? You who have professed entrance into the kingdom of heaven are altogether too vacillating and indefinite in your teaching conduct. The heathen strike directly for their objectives. You are guilty of too much chronic yearning. If you desire to enter the kingdom, why do you not take it by spiritual assault, even as the heathen take a city they lay siege to? You are hardly worthy of the kingdom when your service consists so largely in an attitude of regretting the past, whining over the present, and vainly hoping for the future. Why do the heathen rage? Because they know not the truth. Why do you languish in futile yearning? Because you obey not the truth. Cease your useless yearning, and go forth bravely doing that which concerns the establishment of the kingdom. In all that you do, become not one-sided and over-specialized. The Pharisees who seek our destruction verily think they are doing God's service. They have become so narrowed by tradition that they are blinded by prejudice and hardened by fear. Consider the Greeks who have a science without religion, while the Jews have a religion without science. And when men become thus misled into accepting a narrow and confused disintegration of truth, their only hope of salvation is to become truth-coordinated, converted. Let me emphatically state this eternal truth. If you, by truth-coordination, learn to exemplify in your lives this beautiful wholeness of righteousness, your fellow men will then seek after you, that they may gain what you have so acquired. The measure wherewith truth-seekers are drawn to you represents the measure of your truth endowment, your righteousness. The extent to which you have to go with your message to the people is, in a way, the measure of your failure to live the whole or righteous life, the truth-coordinated life. And many other things the Master taught his apostles and the evangelists before they bade him good night and sought rest upon their pillows.